You're listening to What's the Difference with Gina Della, an inside look at entrepreneurship. What makes business thrive and the difference between what succeeds and what doesn't. This is What's the Difference on WTMJ. Now here's your host, Gina Della.
Good morning. You are listening to What's the Difference. I am Gina Della, your host, and Ross is sitting next to me already with a bunch of notes written. What is happening?
Well, I felt bad last time. Like you caught me. Great job. Caught me off guard with the question. Definitely was not prepared about my first job. And then my response was boring, as you said. And I was like,
what was?
Okay. Well, here, I thought about it and I was like, I was grateful for that time of growing up in the hardware store with my mom. One of the best memories I have of one of the skills that I learned with the communication, we have every year there's an event. So like all the different stores get together, all the vendors are there, right, to sell their products to the new stores. There's thousands of people. I remember as when I was 12 years old, I walked around and I wanted to meet the president. So I went to every vendor and I had him go through and sign it. And I'm like, please sign this, but you can't sign the middle because I'm trying to meet the president. Until the end of the show, he finally heard about it, brought me up on stage and went through and signed it. Is that one better?
Yes.
All right. I was 12 years old. Man, I was only like 10 or 11. I don't know. I was young.
Oh, okay. Love that
See?
Story.
There
I can't
you go.
Even give you S-H- if I spell it. Is that okay, Greg? No, okay.
Says,
all right.
No. Whoops,
we're
sorry
gonna
about
pretend
that,
I didn't spell that. That can't be one of the bad words.
You said it was an O, not an I.
Okay. I said shipwreck. So with that said,
moving on.
We get to have Mike Rubich back today.
Which is awesome. He gave us so many things last time.
Yes. Ross, I want to ask you a question. When you are hiring, I know the answer to this, but I want you to tell everybody else. When you are hiring or choosing who to work with, what's one quality that's non-negotiable for you?
Is this
for
the
you?
First interaction? It's probably important.
Well, I didn't think of that detail.
I know, and I'm trying to catch you up, too. It's easy answer, and honestly, because it's the things I can't train. I'm looking for someone that makes eye contact, that smiles, and is happy. That's the first non-negotiable. If they're not those three things, we're probably not a good fit, or they're not in a good place yet.
You know, and we always hold our interviews. What I love the most about our interviews, if we had a dollar for every single person we interviewed that after several hours and they're, you know, they came in so nervous, you
oh,
can
sure.
see they barely can talk, they need water, their mouth is dry. We make them so comfortable in our interview or give them the opportunity to be themselves. And what is the biggest compliment? Are we going to be on the same page here that we get after our interviews?
It's so much fun.
It was so much fun. It was the best interview they ever had. And kudos to us for getting better at that because it goes right to what Mike said. You have to put the right people in the right seats for us as the company and for them as the future team member.
Yeah,
we're
not hiring somebody for a position. We're hiring somebody that will stay within our company for as long as possible.
Yeah, yeah. For me, I love curiosity. I want them to ask great questions and be curious versus the textbook. You know, and again, we talk AI now. ChatGPT can give you all your answers. But kindness, curiosity, follow through, because that's so important for us with our customers. We promise world-class service from cradle to grave.
Yep.
And we have to know that there's some follow through there because hiring shapes the entire company, quite honestly. Well, when we come back, we are thrilled to bring Mike Rubich, president of LAK Group, back. You are listening to What's the Difference with Gina Della. Welcome back. You're listening to What's the Difference. I am Gina Della with Ross. Welcome back, Mike, and thank you for coming back.
Oh, my pleasure.
We left off talking about the importance of assessments, which I think makes some people nervous because they don't understand. It's not a test.
Mm-hmm.
It's an assessment. And I want to know your opinion, the value of assessments, but I always want to tell people, because it isn't a test, don't try to answer correctly, because they're only hurting themselves, aren't they?
They are, and the good tests will tell you if someone's trying to do that. They'll show that there's inconsistencies in how they answer things, and when people try to answer things the right way, they get inconsistencies. But, you know, the thing I'd say about assessments is how companies hire has changed, right? AI tools are weeding out resumes. You're using applicant tracking systems. It's just way different. And secondly, one of the things that managers hate the most in their job is hiring people. That's one of the things that they just want to avoid, even though they know it's critical.
Why do they hate it so much?
I think it's the stress of, I need that person. I need someone in the role. Am I going to make a right decision? There's a lot of anxiety that comes around that making that decision. And it takes time for them to prepare and get ready for that process.
So almost going back to what you said last week, where don't get sick of it and just put the wrong person in the wrong seat because you're exhausted from doing it.
Right, right. And bring in tools that help give you more data so that you can be confident you're making a good decision. Mm-hmm. Assessments are never the answer, right? It's data, right? And it helps you make a decision. So you need to have that interview process to make sure you validate what the assessment is telling. You got to put them into those situations. But the best tools are tools that balance cognitive traits, personality traits, and then interests. You want to know what people are interested in because, again, I could be really great for a job, but if it's not something that I really want to do, now you're putting a square peg into a round hole.
Oh, I love that. How many times do we say that?
Well, yeah, absolutely. And one of the things you brought up, too, is where managers hate to go through and to do that, which is true. Hiring a process, I think sometimes part of it is, too, is the person in front of me, I like them, are they the best? Or if I hold out and wait, will I find somebody, you know what I mean, that fits a little bit better?
Right. Well, and it's human nature. We hire and we pick people in the image of ourselves, right? It's an unconscious thing that we do. But the more data you can get and the more experience you can get with someone, you can make a much better decision. And you know, I've been in talent development all my life, all my career. We can do a lot to develop people, but if you don't get the right person in, it's hard to develop someone to be exactly what you want. The processes are all linked. It starts with bringing the right person in.
How does an assessment show people's interest? What's an example?
You integrate a lot of questions that start to look at what are some of their tendencies. Am I service oriented? Am I more mechanical, hands on? Am I more strategic and sales oriented? You can start to most assessments foundation on helping build sales capability. Most of your really the top assessments, their history was we got to hire good salespeople. So they look for traits. They can identify traits. Is this person have an interest in sales or are they more of a technical or mechanical background? You dig into that so you can see are they going to be a good match, not just culturally, but for the role.
How come I've taken so many different assessments and one thing I've noticed in a few of them is it feels like it's asking the same question in a different way. Why does it do that?
To look for consistency, and it also helps measure strength, right? So the algorithms in most assessments, they want to look at not just is it important to you, but does it really drive energy? So when they see the same question asked 7 or 8 times, did you answer it consistently? It's going to rate you higher on the scale that's important to you, or it brings energy or drives energy in you.
Do you have any assessments where, like I remember one called Talent Plus I was part of. Mm-hmm. Do you utilize any of those where you're actually having a psychologist ask questions?
We use a number of times, especially for leadership ones, we'll use we integrate our electronic assessment, the online assessment, and then we bring in that behavioral-based interview element to dig more into what the assessment data is telling us. So when we report back to the companies, it's a more comprehensive feel. We can put context to the data. So we do bring that for mostly director and above in companies.
What do you do when you have a situation, I'm assuming it's happened to you too, is where the assessment from what the data says doesn't quite align with what the person that you have in front of you, that doesn't seem like it matches.
Yeah, and that's where the interview becomes really important, right? And that's where you need to ask questions that are, give me examples how you did this, right? It can't just be, did you ever do this? You want to avoid yes or no kind of questions. It's, you want them to explain how they did something, what approach they took, what was the result, so you can see how they really acted. Really good assessment tools will recommend questions for you to dig into that based on what the results of the assessments are.
When we return, I want to ask you about the difference when hiring or helping lead someone to a nonprofit versus the corporate world, and also the importance of diversity, because we're trying to be diverse, but we don't want to just hire the wrong person just because they're a female or a certain age group. So I'd love to jump into that when we return.
Sure.
You're listening to What's the Difference on WTMJ with Gina Della. All right. Welcome back to What's the Difference. I am Gina Della. Mike, as I said on the other side of the commercial break, I want to hear and understand the difference when recruiting for a nonprofit, how it's different from a corporate executive search.
Yeah, there's a lot of similarities, right? But the biggest difference with nonprofits is the purpose side. Is it someone who is doing this for the right reasons? Nonprofits are great organizations. They're never going to have the quantity of resources that a for-profit is going to have in most cases. And so people need to be doing it for a reason. If you want to work for Special Olympics, are you really committed to Special Olympics? If you want to work for Make-A-Wish, is that something that you're passionate about? So you have to believe in the mission, which assessments aren't going to tell you whether you believe in the mission. They're going to give you data whether this person is purpose-based and do they fit culturally. But that conversation you have, you need to dig in. Are they someone who really is going to align with the mission of that organization?
Have you been – how do I ask this? I mean, do you personally, as the founder, the president, hold these interviews and figure out what questions to ask to – help the company that's the nonprofit that's searching know if that's the right fit?
We do. Yeah, we work with so Spino Pratt is our search side, and they are very good at helping not just take the board or the nonprofit leadership through the process, but helping give them data. We do a ton of research on the candidates that we put in front of the organizations, and we really help them with how to address that. What are things they need to dig into with those candidates? We're passionate about making sure they find the right person, not just find someone so we can issue you an invoice, right? We want them to find the right person. All of our people in our organization have been involved on boards of nonprofits or worked in nonprofits. Again, we think like we're part of that firm.
Got it.
When you do that, so you must do all your assessments first, and then that's when the research happens based upon what the results of the assessments and the data you're getting to know what, you know, to drive that candidate to the right questions?
With recruiting specifically, what we'll do is we first look at a portfolio of candidates that we feel would be matched both skill and experience-wise, and you start to narrow it down first, and then you start – then when you get to that – last few 3-4 number, that's when you start to assess, and then that's the differentiator. So we do a lot of work up front working with boards, if it's for a chief executive or with the leadership team, to narrow a list down from 15 to 4 or 5. Then we dig into that next level of detail.
We also said let's talk about diversity and culture fits today. And I mean, I know we would love to hire more females at Pella for sales reps. They just don't apply. We just don't get the applicants, for example, or bilingual. If you're listening, we would give anything to have a bilingual sales rep. But one of the things I've always personally been really strict about is I'm not going to hire somebody just because they're a female or just because they're a person of color. How do you coach around that?
Yeah, quite honestly, that female or person of color would be offended if you hired them for that reason.
I mean, I don't feel good about it, right?
Right. And no person, regardless of their gender, religion, race, wants to be hired because of that. They want to be hired because I can do the job. This goes back to that need by everyone to be able to have an impact and want to show value. So that's more offensive to that individual than it is anyone else. And as a company, you're obligated to find the person who's the best fit for that job. That you should never compromise that. The challenge for companies is, are you looking in the right place for that talent? Because the talent's out there, right? Whether it's a female or a person of color or any kind of – any neurodiversity, whatever it might be, they're out there. You just got to maybe look outside of the traditional places that you look. The other thing that you need to do in organizations is look internally, especially when it gets to internal promotions. I've seen it so many times in companies where you have this person who's sitting at the entry-level part in an organization. They have their education. They've done all kinds of work. They've volunteered. They've worked in nonprofits, and they're sitting and never leave that entry-level role because people overlook. And you gotta spend time and really understand people and know what they're looking for, because there are so many diamonds in the rough out there, and companies miss it so often.
You know, when people are afraid of what a service like this might cost, to me, you can't put a price tag on it. What are you spending not utilizing a service like LA Cape and not hiring correctly?
I was just saying, or how much does it cost to hire the wrong person?
Right. I know just for us, yes, one sales rep is $35,000 by the time we bring them on and onboard them.
Right. Yeah, and imagine lost revenue if you don't have that person enrolled. So it's, you know, statistics say it's 1.5 to sometimes 2 times the salary. I think that's a little high of an estimate. We find it's, you know, it's more in that, you know, a lot of the research we've done, it's in that $25,000 to $30,000 cost of hire when you're filling an average role. But so do you want to lose $25,000 to $30,000 for a bad hire every time? You could spend half of that to do the assessments and make sure you're doing the right thing. So,
and then the time it takes just to do it and it's painful.
Yep. And then you're growing, right? Because now you learn the correct process. Because I'm assuming that's what you're going to do. You're going to teach
right.
the company, this is how you should effectively hire. These are the tools that are going to help get
absolutely.
The right candidates.
Yeah, and make everyone more comfortable. This is in one of the previous segments, I talked about how managers don't like hiring. It's because it's uncomfortable. It's not easy for them. So how do you make it easy? Because they have 20 other things on their to-do list they got to get done. How do you make this an easy one for them so that they can make a good decision and then find someone that they can retain and not have to replace?
When we return, before we wrap up, you've had so many big name clients. I want to hear some of the outcomes that you've seen work with some of them. You are listening to What's the Difference? I am Gina Della. Welcome back. You're listening to What's the Difference? Ross just reminded me, I always say either segment 1 or 2 where you can find us streaming, because so many of you aren't up at 6:30 a.m., especially as winter is going to come. I can't believe we're already well past the longest day of the year. You can go to WTMJ.com, look for partners, and you will see What's the Difference. And we are downloaded by usually noon on Saturdays.
Correct.
So you can hear us there. All right, Mike, I know there were 2 things we wanted to follow up with, AI tools and
a business case on assessments. Yes.
Yes. Tell us a great business case success story.
Yeah. So one of our assessments, it's called GoTrago, is really designed for auto dealers. Auto dealers nationwide have an average turnover in their sales and service side of about 60%. We had a study of our 15 of our auto dealers whose turnover is 18% on average. And they're also selling about 6 cars more per salesperson who meet the standards that they set for their assessment than those that don't. So we see significant more car sales, but to reduce turnover, to be at 18% where the industry average is 60%, is the cost savings alone is unbelievable.
Yeah, for the training side of it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, your retention, you don't have to spend the hours that you save is immeasurable. And the cost of hires are, you know, 50-60% less because of the using assessments to pick the right people.
My son used to be a Mercedes salesperson and then manager at Umansky Motor Cars, and that was his biggest challenge.
Yep.
Wow, that's awesome. All right, AI tools.
Yeah, so the biggest trend we're seeing is when it comes to development, and we do a lot of coaching at senior levels, but we coach all the way down to frontline levels or key contributor levels in organizations. And we've shifted to a model that integrates coaching with a professional coach, but also AI tools and technology to help keep that learning process going over time. And it's a huge trend that you're seeing. It's a lower cost coaching alternative, so you can target more mid-level in the organization and get a lot more value, because the generations coming into the workplace, they value coaching and mentoring. Those are the two development tools that they get the most value for.
And it's probably safe to assume that AI tool can learn different scenarios as it grows, right? So then it can expand upon that coaching.
We can go in and say, you're meeting with this manager, or you're a manager, you're meeting with this employee. This person tends to get emotional. They haven't performed well. We can put all kinds of scenarios in place, and you play that out, and it gives you feedback. It tells you things that you might want to say. You work with your coach to help address that. Our coaching on demand tool is getting unbelievable reviews, and it's just a great way to learn. People really value it.
Honestly, you cannot put a price tag on this. Yeah. I don't know how you can't utilize.
It's the same thing we say, right? Is you train and practice with each other, like, right, coaching staff, not our customers.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the beauty of these tools is you can do it when you need it. That's why we call it coaching on demand. It's 11 o'clock. I can't sleep. I got to look into this. And so do it then. You know, it doesn't have to be between 9 and 5 in the day.
Or I can think of the perfect something happens, right, where you have a scenario and you're like, how could I have handled that differently?
Right.
Put that in your coaching on demand tool and like, oh, now I like how this plays out.
You can play it out and course correct along the way.
Yeah, it's great.
Mike, you have given the audience so many tools. I know for us, this has been an amazing 2 weeks. I cannot thank you enough for coming back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
To learn more about LAK Group and how they can help your business unlock its human advantage, head to www.lak-group.com. You are listening to What's the Difference on WTMJ, and I'm Gina Della.